January 31st, 2017, our Moapa Town Advisory Board meeting. Call to order. Invocation. We have someone who would be willing to give the invocation.
Our Father in Heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to meet this evening and discuss the matters of the Moapa Town, and we thank thee for the opportunity to work together and help to improve our town and plan for the future. We pray that thy Spirit will attend all that we do and help us to be wise and discerning and do what's best for our friends and neighbors and the future of our community. We say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Roll call. Lynn Wren, Vice Chair.
Jamie Shakespeare.
Tim Watkins.
That's it for county staff. Public comments. This is a period devoted to anyone who would like to speak on anything that's on the agenda that's not going to be here when those items come up. Okay. Approval of January 10th, 2017 minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approval of agenda for January 31st, 2017.
I move that we approve the agenda as written.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Informational items. Nevada Energy.
So, can you all see this? I'll run the button and see that.
Yeah, that's fine. I just give a minute to huddle around if you can't see. I guess, first of all, thanks for the opportunity to come visit with you and share the happenings, what's going on at Reed Gardner Station. As you guys know, there's been some changes over the course of the last couple of years. We've been coming to the town board pretty regularly and providing some updates, and we just wanted to do that tonight, so appreciate your time. My name's Jason Ammons. I'm the plant director. This is Edgar Patino. He's in our corporate communications group.
Actually, he's Mr. Guru of Government Affairs.
Oh, Government Affairs. I didn't know you were Mr. Guru now.
I don't know about that.
Thank you. Matt Johns. He's a director of environmental remediation, and Mark Sievers is in our corporate communications group, and he helps out and assists with all of our power plants and the transmission group. So appreciate your time, and thanks for having us tonight. Really, a couple bullet points that we wanted to hit on, just to make sure I'm going in order here. So an overview of NV Energy, and you may have heard that we became a member of Berkshire Hathaway Energy, so wanted to, I guess, give you a little bit of info on that and talk about that briefly. Background on Senate Bill 123, that was the Senate bill that was passed that resulted in the Emission Reductions Capacity Replacement Plan. So we'll go into some detail about what that means specifically for Reed Gardner and our generation fleet. Give a current update on operation of the plant and the closure status, and then also talk about the environmental work that's taken place to date and what's going to happen over the course of the next couple of years and timelines for all of that. Then, of course, we'll answer any questions that you have. So, first of all, as I mentioned, NV Energy is now part of Berkshire Hathaway Energy. A couple key points on this slide. as Berkshire Hathaway Energy, we have close to 12 million customers worldwide. And the 2,400 employees at NV Energy are part of the 21,000 employees worldwide for Berkshire Hathaway. Safety is key to our company, and especially at the plant. And I'm really proud of our safety culture and our safety record. We haven't had a OSHA recordable or a lost time accident since 2012. And for those of you who may not know, an OSHA recordable is something as simple as getting a scratch on your finger, you go to the doctor and they prescribe you an ointment for it. I mean, so as you guys can imagine, with the work that happens at the plant day in, day out, that to me is truly remarkable. So a little bit about Senate Bill 123. It was passed in 2013, and basically it required the company to retire 812 megawatts of coal. So really what that meant was we retired units 1, 2, 3, the smaller units here, in 2014. Unit 4 slated to retire this year, and in 2019, or by 2019, we will retire our interest in the Navajo Generating Station. That's the big plant down by Lake Tahoe, for those of you.
Lake Powell.
Lake Powell, that's right. For those of you who aren't familiar with it. It's cold. Yeah. I'm trying to keep the pace here. So I guess specific to our plant, as I mentioned, units 1, 2, and 3 were retired in 2014 to comply with the Senate Bill 123. We began doing some of the demo on those units. We made the decision to, you know, not bring down the stacks, not start knocking over the buildings, but to halt that work until we retire Unit 4. And at such time, then we'll move into demolition of the entire site. And that decision was really driven to save cost to our customers. We've got right now 43 employees on our plant site. We've transitioned a good number of employees already to other plants in the southern Nevada area. Once we retire the unit, we're going to transition some additional employees to other plants, and then the remaining employees will stay on the site and actually do a good portion of the demolition work. So, as you can imagine, disconnecting motors, draining pumps, or draining motors and fluids, all of those sorts of things, good work for our employees to do. And as the decommissioning efforts, at least from our employee perspective, winds down, we'll keep transitioning employees to other generating stations. So no layoffs of employees, which is a great thing. So Matt's really going to lead up the environmental remediation and drive the demolition project. So I'll let him kind of take over and talk about that.
So they've chosen not to mothball it in case they decide to use coal again or anything like that?
No, the plan is to proceed with demolition. And again, that's not a
state law, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's driven by the state. It's really not tied to federal or, you know, now that we've got a new administration in office. It's state law.
And it's consistent with our company's direction towards, just in general, moving towards renewables and all of that. Sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah. I am cold. Go ahead.
I have a jacket on.
So we're not having global warming, apparently, then, huh?
at least not right now.
Two slides. No, you're back.
Other way.
I'm sorry.
No worries. One more slide. Yeah, a little bit of background on myself. I've worked as a consultant for about 20 years. I'm doing environmental remediation and kind of large-scale projects like this as a consultant. I was actually working with NV Energy since late 2008, primarily at Reed Gardner Station, working on the ponds and the landfill and that work. And in 2015, I made the switch and joined NV Energy in my current role. One of the big projects really is making sure we do the demolition, decommissioning, and remediation at Reed Gardner Station in a real safe and environmentally friendly manner. So that's one of our charges over the next few years to get that the work done and get the site ready for some future use, whatever that may be. But the photo here, in terms of decommissioning work, we have done a little bit of work already. We happen to go by the plant in the Unit 123 area. We knocked down some vehicle maintenance buildings, some out structures, brought down the cooling towers from Unit 123. Part of the driver there was it allowed us to do some of our environmental remediation work in that area of the plant and just progress things as expeditiously as we could. So 2015, we did a little bit of work already at the north area of the plant. And we've done a lot of work, continue to do a lot of work at the plant even today. If we want to go to the next slide, one of the agreements we have with the state of Nevada, in 2008 we signed into an administrative order on consent to address soil and groundwater remediation across the site. So part of our charge there is, it's a facility that's been there for 50 years, do all the evaluations to determine if there are groundwater impacts, soil impacts, and come up with corrective actions to remedy those issues. And the map here really is, if you look at the blue lines, we really are looking at the landfill area, the pond area, and the station area. And the demolition work will help us sequence and really accomplish all of the investigation work necessary over time. One of the real prominent things that we've already accomplished to date is the closure of the wastewater evaporation ponds, which are in the floodplain next to the Muddy River. We started this in 2010, and the work entailed removing the residual solids material from the ponds and placing them in lined cells on the on-site landfill. So these are geosynthetically lined cells that we place the pond solids material. That area is a little bit south of the ponds, up on the mesa, so we're away from the river and up on higher ground as well. The photograph there, the ponds that are in the brown shaded, there is work already completed. We've removed about 1.6 million cubic yards and removed that from the floodplain to close those ponds. Today we're in the process of closing four remaining ponds, which are shaded in blue on that figure. We're targeting to complete that work by the end of this year. So one of the things about ponds and the areas, the last flood event in 2014 was a large event. I don't know if it was a 100-year event or a 1,000-year event.
For us, it's about a 5-year
event. Yeah, it happens.
Funny how that works.
But the flood actually went through the south side of the plant, and in spite of all that water, we didn't breach any of the ponds or anything of that nature. So even though they were in service, we didn't have any failure of ponds or anything like that. But part of our driver is to get all that material out of the floodplain and get that area ultimately restored.
Great picture.
So civil earthwork doesn't necessarily make the best photographs, but I get a little excited about it. So the four ponds that we started closing after 2014 really embarked on an approach to dewater these ponds and get them ready to close. This is a September, June, July of this year, pond E1. We're just about done dewatering the pond and getting it ready to close. And I think the next photograph is last month, same pond. We've excavated about 60,000 yards of material out of this pond. And this was a pond that was relined in the 2000s, geosynthetically relined. The groundwater impacts really relate to the historic soil-lined ponds from built in the 1970s, 1980s. But nonetheless, we're trying to get out of the floodplain, and we look to accomplish that this year. B3 is another pond that we're actively in the process of doing the same thing. Large equipment and relocating that material to the landfill. Some other cleanup work we've been able to accomplish with the removal of some of those buildings. Vehicle maintenance building is one example. 50 years of changing the oil, those types of activities. There's some soil and groundwater, there are soil impacts related to that. And in 2015, under the working with the state, we have to submit a work plan, do the work, they approve the work, go through that process. but we were able to do the soil cleanups.
Now, is that going to the landfills also? Or?
Petroleum has to go off-site. Our landfills
are not being remediated on-site?
No, this was, it actually went to Apex Landfill.
Okay.
They're approved to accept petroleum contaminated.
So how far down did you have to dig?
This was about 6 feet, 8 feet to get to clean soil. It's around the site. So prior to doing that, we did a bunch of probe work to delineate the extent and then did an excavation project to accomplish that. From a groundwater perspective, we've been, really the last 2 years in particular, investing a lot of time doing a lot of drilling and geological work at the site to understand the shallow groundwater conditions and the impacts related to the former pond operations and the station area and that type of work. We're not done yet, and decommissioning the station will help us fully evaluate the site, and that's really our mission to do so. And what we're really looking for is salinity from the ponds, the TDS is common terms, metals, those types of materials, understand, well, what's the nature of that? With the pond closure projects are things now improving those types of things. So that's a lot of work that you see happening, but you don't get to see a lot of physical change at the site. The other item that we're doing as part of the environmental work is we do have a site-wide monitoring program. So we've installed a number of monitoring wells. We've had monitoring wells on the site for a long period of time. Helps us collect the data to understand the site conditions and also monitor changes in groundwater quality after we complete these removal projects, for instance.
So how many total?
We have all told about 100 and greater than 150 monitor wells on site. We generally are monitoring the shallow groundwater in the alluvium, so kind of 0 to 100 feet below ground surface.
Are you finding anything in there?
Yeah, I mean, we know that there are some TDS impacts related to the ponds. The metals impacts tend to be very localized to underneath the pond footprints. TDS is in our water. It's naturally occurring. We see that migrating a little bit more than the metals impacts. Doing the pond closure projects and removing that potential source is really a major first step in eliminating the potential for future impacts to the site. And as we delineate that and also look to the future, will the groundwater impacts decrease with all the work that's been done, or do we need to do more work? That's one of our charges to understand coming up. In terms of schedule, as Jason mentioned, end of February-ish, we'll be burning the last of the coal of the plant, and the unit will be shut down. This year, we'll be working on the decommissioning activities at the plant to ready it for demolition of the above-ground infrastructure and the below-ground infrastructure, so the units themselves, the stacks, underground piping, those types of things. That will go out to bid for part of this year's current plan, with the hope to award that work at the end of the year. So the demolition work will physically start in the beginning of 2018.
Now, it was a California firm that did all the pond remediation work?
Right? No.
call that just a lead-in.
Actually, all of the work in the pond removal has been bid out, but local EcoView contractors, who's been very good to work with, has been selected for those projects.
Now, when everything's done, are you going to cap the whole site to keep the dust remediated?
Yeah. I mean, site restoration is a final component of this, and dust mitigation, those types of things are part of, in my mind, getting the site to a stable condition as well. And part of that's why we're phasing this work, to really take advantage of what we understand when we get done with the demolition, the additional remediation work that may need to be done within the plant area to come up with a really smart plan for site restoration for the long term out there as well. So 2018-2019 we'll be doing demolition. 2020-2022 will really be that site restoration, additional remediation. If we need to excavate additional soil, do that type of work, we'll be able to accomplish that and really get the site to, I call it, a stable long term condition that's available for.
Now, is your metal contamination coming from the process or from the fuel, from the coal?
It would be the metals are generally related to the coal, the fuel. impacts when you think about metals, that type of thing. The process at the plant was for scrubbing the sulfur from the air was using a sodium based scrubber system, and that actually produced a salt that was put into solution, and that's what the residuals are in the ponds.
Right.
So when you think about what you read in the papers about coal ash and those type of things, right. Actually the ponds are not fly ash ponds.
Right.
They're actually sodium.
That's up on the hill.
Yeah. So we actually handled all of our ash dry, which is different from some of the plants you see back east where they have large fly ash
well,
ponds.
Well, they sell it commercially too. Then.
Yeah. And we Gardner, I don't think there's been a lot of marketability.
In the history, we haven't really marketed a lot of fly ash. We've just put it in the landfill.
And it's because it makes cement a little too dark. You know, people kind of like this light-colored cement, not
good
black
stuff.
Cement.
Structurally, it's good stuff, though. So.
Right.
So if you look at the ponds, though, that white material is actually a sodium sulfate salt, which is a byproduct of the emission scrubbing system. That's kind of the big picture of where we're at and where we're going. At the point of the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
How long did you stick somebody up there waiting for that? Was that a Photoshop?
No, that was actually real. That was probably 2015. I was coming to the plant one morning and it just rained. Don and I actually. We were within 2 minutes of getting to the plant. We both got to work and said, look at this picture. And it was the same spot, the same picture. But no, that was real.
Did you happen to find any gold?
Nope, I'm still looking. I'm thinking when we start the demo, we'll maybe find that pot of gold. But.
Thank you for, it certainly appears that you've taken care to protect our community, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, speaking as a local member of the community, like I said, I live down in Overton. It's tough for me to see the plant get decommissioned because it's always been here, it's all I've ever known, but to Edgar's point, it really is the strategy moving forward. Bittersweet, I guess I'll leave it at that. But with all the work of the local contractors and the things that we've been doing over the last couple of years, not being able to make sure that we don't lay any of our employees off and can transition them to other sites is important as well. So it's been a process and pretty well thought out, I think. But like I said, it's a little bittersweet to see the plant go.
So. I thought maybe Janice and Commissioner Kirkpatrick would be settling on that helicopter. Apologize for being late.
Any other questions? I know it's cold out here, so that's really all we had to present. So appreciate your time.
So you don't? Do you have plans for the site yet, or are you still working?
No plans currently, but if something is developed, obviously it would be done through the Public Utilities Commission.
An indoor swimming pool would be great. Yeah. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah,
you have to say that at every town board meeting.
No current plans for the site, though. I think it's obviously a value to the company. If you were going to build something in the future.
You've got all that water. And
there's water, there's interconnection, there's infrastructure. Definitely a value to our customers for sure. So we'll see.
Yeah, anytime there's water in the desert, you have value to it.
No doubt. All right, well, thank you for your time.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Can we be dismissed?
Yes. Okay.
I'll leave you with my cards just because I work closely with Janice and the commissioner. So if you ever have any concerns or questions about anything, I'm a good first point of contact. For
sure.
And Vernon has my card.
Okay. So we have to planning and zoning, we have none. Okay. Be safe.
My bad.
General business. Review, revise, and adopt bylaws.
An update on Henry Road?
Well, that's not until the public comment.
Oh, that's not.
Yeah. Oh, not that I'm the parliamentarian. Stay with the agenda. Okay. Review, revise, and adopt bylaws.
Yeah. Unless anybody has any...
I didn't have any objections.
Yeah, I'm
so to we're good.
Adopt the bylaws.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, town board to nominate a representative to represent the board on the Moapa Valley Fire Protection District Advisory Board. Janice was going to bring us some information, and she's not here, so we probably need to table this till next meeting. All right. Comments by the general public. Do we have something about Henry Road?
I do.
The general public does.
I went to a meeting yesterday with the engineers and the inspection team and discussed some of the changes that were made since it was presented to us last time. Was it last time that they stopped at Isola?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're dropping it all the way to the end of the pavement. Now.
They were going to try and find some money for us.
I guess they got some from the maintenance budget or something like that. I don't know for sure. Don't quote me for it. But yeah, it's planned to go all the way to Ranch Road now. The contractor will be Meadow Valley, and the BLM's putting some restrictions on us, and we have to salvage all of the excess material that the county used. It will be possibly starting as soon as the first week of March. So that's all unofficial, very much. Don't get me in trouble.
That's just public comment. That did not.
Yeah, happen. Public comment really irrelevant. Okay. Next meeting date is February 28th. 2017, unless we have a special call, and we'll call this meeting adjourned.
Amen.